We turn our attention to emerging economies with a focus on Latin America. Professor Lau White joins me now on the line. Professor Lau, thanks so much for coming out on the air with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Lester. I'm sure you hear your voice.
I'm sure you're focusing a lot on what's happening when it comes to vaccine policy and unequal distribution of vaccines, and also particularly the UK's announcement that they don't recognize vaccines in Africans and Latin Americans' arms, then they recognize them in European arms.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of a ludicrous approach to these policies. And yeah, we've done some extensive work actually in looking at comparative COVID responses across Africa. But seeing that we are talking about Latin America, and as we know, local vaccine production and local vaccine rollout or manufacturing has really put many of those Latin American countries ahead of the pack. And these are countries that were really slow off the starting line, Lester. It's actually pretty phenomenal what has actually taken place in terms of the rollout of vaccines. Brazil is one of the countries in question, is now one of the fastest vaccinating countries on the planet. And this is after a late and chaotic start that continues to take its toll on President Jair Bolsonaro's popularity. You know, this is a country, Lester, that's got 230 million people. So when you talk about these countries that are not recognizing vaccines in citizens from developing countries, and let's not forget, that's the majority of the planet. So big countries like Brazil, 213 million people, they started their coronavirus inoculations in January, which was obviously several weeks after the United States and Europe, and also after many South American countries as well. The rollout was delayed by political bickering as well in that country that we covered quite extensively on this show, and under a president who belittled the pandemic and spread vaccine falsehoods, and then obviously hamstrung by the usual logistical difficulties in such a vast country. Brazil has the world's second highest COVID death toll at nearly 600,000 fatalities that are reported to date, and the coronavirus vaccination rate picked up. As it picked up, the death rates obviously tumbled as imported jabs, and this is important to your point, started arriving alongside and in parallel with local production that began. So a number of Brazilians with at least one jab has now reached nearly 70% of the population, and that's higher than the 63% in the United States, and even higher than a small country like Argentina, population-wise, of 63%. So that's a very, very interesting development, and local production and local manufacturing is key to combating a pandemic universally.
Brazil has a very, very proud history when it comes to vaccinations. They have actually a national vaccination mascot. He's called Zé Gotinha, developed in the 1980s, and sort of the face, the cartoon face of a vaccination program. And it's with great pride that that I once had Brazilians come for me on social media because I saw this Zé Gotinha. It was a very badly made costume of the official mascot, and I said it looked very weird. I won't say exactly. And I had Brazilians coming for me. I had Brazilians saying, "You don't mock Zé Gotinha." And I think what could have happened in South Africa if we had a positive media messaging campaign, particularly around COVID-19 and vaccinations. But I digress. This is a very important point to my heart. We're staying in Latin America, and it's been found to be the deadliest region for environmental activists.
Yeah, it's very disturbing indeed. Listen, increasingly, it should be close to most people's hearts. Latin America and the Caribbean, which is the collective region, is the deadliest region for environmental defenders. This is a recent report that was released. The region has several of the most biodiverse areas of the planet, but they are constantly threatened by logging, mining, and just general over-exploitation. Of the 227 killings tallied globally by Global Witness, 165 took place in Latin America. That's 72%, or 3 out of 4 people that were killed, environmentalists that were killed. Countries with the highest death tolls in this space are Colombia, followed by Mexico, Brazil, then Honduras, Guatemala, and Nicaragua. Very, very disturbing, and something that really does need to be addressed quite rapidly, then, I would say.
And finally, we go to Peru. The lead of the Shining Path, the Communist Party of Peru has passed away, Abimael Guzman. But it's a bit of a conflicted history. Peru ponders what to do with his body.
This is a very, very interesting story, and it would be interesting to hear from the listeners whether they remember the Shining Path. Now, the Shining Path was a group that terrorized Peru through the 1980s and 1990s. Peruvian officials are now expected to decide, actually later this week, in the next day or so, what to do with the body of Abimael Guzman, who is the founder of the Shining Path rebel group. He died in prison last week. Shining Path is a militant, or it was a militant group founded in the late 1960s by a former university philosopher, this Professor Abimael Guzman, and they waged a bloody insurgency across Peru against the Peruvian government. Almost 70,000 people died or disappeared in the 10-decade-long conflict between this Maoist group and the Peruvian state. He died, incidentally, at the age of 86 while serving a life sentence for terrorism and treason in a maximum security jail. And there are fears now that if he were buried, his gravesite would become a rallying point for extremists. And while the Shining Path lost much of its power after the arrest of Guzman and his wife, who was second in command back in 1992, there are still remnants of Shining Path active in the cocoa-producing regions of Peru. So it's a very, very interesting story, some of the history that might have been washed away. But it's a controversial group, the Shining Path, that really set Peru back over that period of the 1980s and 1990s.
Professor Lyle White, insightful and educational as always. Thank you so much. You'll be back next week with the focus on emerging economies in Latin America.